is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
First down. Hand off Elliott, plowing to the goal line. Barry, sacked by Lord. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it in for the touchdown.
Here are Mickey Spagnola, Brian Broaddus, Rob Phillips, and Bill Jones.
And it is a Tuesday here at the Star in Frisco, Texas, the SWBC Mortgage Studios. Bill Jones with Mickey Spagnola, Rob Phillips, and Brian Broaddus as we turn the page and get set for Eagles Week, a day off for the players here. And the practices resume, of course, on Wednesday, and it's Eagles Week. And, of course, a lot to get to with the Jets. Jerry Jones was just on the flagship station, 105.3, the Fan in Dallas-Fort Worth. Talking about his head coach as well as what happened in Sunday's game against the Jets, the 24-22 loss. And I guess we can probably start with that. But first, hello to everybody.
How are you today?
Good morning, Bill. Good morning.
Very good. Very good. We also got the XFL draft going on right now. Brian Broaddus, this is what a nerd I am. I'm actually tracking that draft.
How do you like the pick so far? Landry Jones being your quarterback? You okay with that? It's Oklahoma guy?
That brings it back to the Cowboys right off the bat because Landry Jones was named after Tom Landry.
There you go.
Grew up in New Mexico.
Lance Dunbar was drafted.
Was he really? I haven't seen that.
Yeah, he was drafted. Yeah.
All right. There are some interesting names.
Did the locals get anybody worth note?
Well, Landry Jones was the quarterback.
But they got him already.
Yeah,
right?
And he was the designated quarterback. Their first-round draft pick. With the fourth pick of the 2020, I guess, XFL draft, this is the skills portion of the draft, the Dallas Renegades select wide receiver Jeff Badet from
Oklahoma,
the University of Oklahoma.
Oh, there's a common theme here. Did he play there?
He did. He was actually a transfer from someplace. I can't remember where. He played 1 year there. Fast guy.
Can really run.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mm. And so anyway, Christian Michael, we had a cup of coffee here. Trey Williams, they were first-round draft picks as well.
There you go.
So anyway, there's your XFL draft update. We'll keep you posted as the day goes along.
Or maybe not.
All right. Jerry on the radio, he was quizzed quite a bit about his head coach, and it sounds to me like there will not be a decision made on this head coach until after the season is over.
As he said last week, and as he said, I mean, really after the game too, he said, I'm not even glancing into the long-term future. The future is this Sunday against the Eagles. That's all they're focused on right now. I don't know how many times he has to say it, but I guess, you know, people feel the need. They got to ask. They got to ask when you've lost three games in a row and the expectations that this team has. Right, Mick?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, he also went on to say that, you know, I don't know if they thought they were trying to trip him up or nothing with that philosophy question.
That
right? And he said, if I disagreed with Garrett's philosophy, he wouldn't be the coach.
Yeah, that's...
For the 10 years, yeah.
I'm glad Mickey pointed that out. That was the one thing, you know, if you kind of... take put it into a bow, that I think that's the veteran reporter right there telling you that's the thing. Hey, if I didn't agree with his philosophy, if I didn't agree with how he managed the games, you know, I'm sure that Jerry is like a fan. You know, every fan's like, oh, go for it, no, don't go. And then it, you know, you have that buyer's remorse when it doesn't work. But, you know, yeah, I feel like, though, that the question, one of the better ones they asked, was that, hey, do you agree with his philosophy? Do you agree with him and how he manages the games? And he says, if I didn't agree with him, he wouldn't be the head coach. And so this is all up for evaluation at the end of the year. That's the way teams handle things. That's the way the Joneses handle things. Yeah, it was the one time. They clearly saw, and Mickey and Rob will tell you, that when Wade Phillips lost his team, the Joneses had had enough at that point. They needed to try and do something differently. I don't feel like that Jason Garrett has lost this team. Even though we've seen videos of guys walking by him supposedly not shaking his hand or, you know, whatever. I don't think that. Sometimes as a player, you walk off the field and you just want to get to the bench and get a cup of Gatorade and you don't notice anything going on around you.
And it was two guys.
Yeah.
And they're not.
And
they
now we're making a big deal about that. Yeah. But to me, at the end of the year, you sit down and you evaluate where you're at with your coaching staff. You're either going to win enough or you're not going to win enough, and that's where the evaluation needs to be. He is without a contract. No one's ever asked Jason Garrett if he really wants to be here either. He might like be tired of this place too. You know, everybody's like, well, we're all tired of you. Well, maybe he's like, well, maybe I can go on and do something else. You know, his contract is up at the end of the year, so keep that in mind as well.
You know, we were talking about this yesterday off air. When's the last time in the National Football League you've seen a team make a coaching change with a franchise that's in first place?
NFL, right?
NFL, first place in their division. Okay, you've seen hockey or soccer.
St. Louis Blues.
They'll shuffle coaches and managers in and out, but the NFL, that just doesn't happen. As bad as this stretch is, they still control what they want to do. What Doug Peterson said yesterday about his team is the same thing that Jason Garrett could say about his team. Now, Jason's not going to say those tight. He's not going to come out and say that. I know Doug walked it back.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Jason's style, but the same thing holds true. They can still do what they want to do.
People might say the Cleveland Browns last year when they made the switch, when they got rid of Hugh and then went and Greg Williams took over and things kind of shifted a little bit for them that way.
But yeah, they played better. When was the last time a first-place team did that?
A team that still is in control. And like
you did qualify that. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
And to what Brian said, 2010, 45-7, you lose to the Packers.
Right.
You get blown out by the Jaguars the week before. Wade Phillips, and we love him, he'd lost the team. The team had lost direction, and that's why they made the change. They're not going to do that here.
It's a good thing this is a football town and not a hockey town, because that guy would be fired already, right?
If you're not aware, most of you probably aren't aware, the Dallas Stars are 1-5-1 to start the season.
Yeah, bad start.
Out of here. Let's go. What are you doing?
Move on.
You know, the other thing they asked him, and they were trying to hint on the perception out there that the Cowboys aren't prepared to start a game, they're not motivated. And Jerry's answer to that, they wanted to know what he does on game day. He said, I think he's tremendously organized on game day.
Yeah.
So that shot down that line of questioning also. And the weird thing is, okay, you don't have your team prepared to start the game, right? But in 10 minutes at halftime, they come out playing like their hair's on fire.
Yeah, much better.
So what? All of a sudden, you got organized?
And was it last year they couldn't make halftime adjustments?
Yeah,
and now
right.
They can.
Yeah. And so, by the way, I saw this, and this is going to be interesting. I'm trying to see where I wrote it down. The Eagles, their defense has been scored on the first possession 5 of the last 6 games.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys don't score on those first possessions. So now something's going to give, right?
Yeah.
Something's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Either one's not going to score or one's going to score.
I'd be interested just a thought from everybody if I could. I kind of, on Twitter this morning, I kind of went the thought of a lack of offensive rhythm.
You mentioned it on the mailbag today too.
Is that being too simplistic?
I'm with you on that. I was thinking that last night.
Is there ability, Mickey, to move the ball just so fine when you don't have? I mean, I'm not saying about the players on the field, but even when they have the players on the field, even when they have their full complement of roster, is there margin of error so small that it hurts them to have any kind of rhythm? And am I just making too much of something that probably isn't what it is?
Well, if you look at the start of this past game, all right, the Jets came out and they were 4 and out. They got one first down on the first play, and then they went 3 and out.
Right.
The Cowboys went 3 and out. Then the Jets had a 14-play scoring drive, right? And then the Cowboys end up going 8 plays and kick a field goal.
Right.
So, and then the Jets went no score. The Cowboys went no score thanks to there was a holding penalty anyway. The Jets didn't score. And then the Cowboys should have scored, right? 4th and 2.
Right.
And then they score on one play. So it was very even to start the whole game, saying, okay, they didn't. Well, the Jets didn't start real well either.
Hey, but I mean, you can look at all of that, but look at the Dallas drives. Okay, look, the week before against Green Bay, there were a couple picks, right? That derailed possessions in the first half.
Yeah.
This time they weren't picks, but they were drops.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're sitting there at the 32-yard line with a third and four, and there's a ball that clanks off Michael Gallup's hands, you're not moving the chains, and you're kicking the 50-yard field goal. Next possession, which was early second quarter, they're sitting there second and 11, incomplete, off Gallup's hands. And when I write drop with an exclamation point, that's a drop.
Yeah.
I give them the benefit of the doubt.
You don't have to go to Pro Football Focus.
So you wind up punting there. And people don't want to hear about this, but the coach says we got to execute, you know?
Yeah.
And that's execution there. You got to execute ball plays. To your point, I was thinking this, I think along the same lines as you. There's something about this offense that doesn't feel right, even when they're being productive. Okay, they came into this game with total offense, leading the whole league in total yards.
Yeah.
Okay, but just something about it that doesn't seem to be, they hit on these plays, but what are the odds 7 times out of 10 that you're going to hit on those plays? You know, it just seems like there's something about it that's not right to me. I don't know what it is.
I think you're right, but that 3-0 start, there's a rhythm and there was a pace to their offense where they were kind of dictating things.
Sure.
And we're not, the first half we're not seeing it, but I think everybody's right, because what I wrote in the mailbag, because we had that question was asked to us on the website, it's a play here or there that's making the difference. Like Bill mentioned the drops. There was a penalty by Tavon Austin in the first quarter.
15-yard play right there, taken out of the book.
Where they would have been in the red zone. We've seen Dak take a sack that knocks him out of field goal range. Like, there's just been different things that have happened that have stopped drives. And so I think you really just have to look at each individual situation, and it's hard to say, oh, it's one overarching thing. Oh, they're flat or this or that. It is about execution to some degree. I mean, and they just haven't done it for whatever reason consistently.
The possession before the Jets drove down and made it 21-3, third and two, Jarwin has a drop.
Yeah.
It was a first down.
Yeah.
And you know, it gets knocked out of it. Well, I don't know if it was a drop. The guy did a pretty
Adams,
good
Adams,
job of
Adams, yeah.
hitting
yeah.
him and getting
yeah.
him.
That was close. It was
but
a contested ball.
You were
ball.
There, yeah. right?
And, right.
And so then the next possession, they drive, you know, in what? 20 seconds? What was it? 20?
Yeah, I thought
27 seconds, and they kick a field goal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean,
I'm just trying to find out, you know, because people don't want to hear the execution part, but
right.
and they blame it on the coach. And you know, the coach actually said that, you know, some of the things execution wise, he said it yesterday. You know, you can't put on the coach and staff, but I could say I kind of answered the question in a way of, is Tavon Austin lining up a coaching problem? Is the drops a coaching problem? You know? And I just, you know, I'm not trying to defend the coaches. I'm just saying they all have a hand at the at what the problems are. But when you look for reasons and when they use the word execution or lack of it, it does. It applies to what they're trying to do here. You know, if they're able to catch these balls and make these throws and not mess up bail coverage, you know, on cover three. If they do those things, then they get the rhythm. Then they're not so inconsistent down after down on defense. Sometimes we see something really good on defense, and then the next play is something really bad. They have no rhythm on offense, and then on defense, they struggle from down to down sometimes. And so you're trying to kind of figure out what's wrong? And then now throw in special teams. You have a field goal kicker that, you know, he lines up on the 40-yard line to kick, and all of a sudden he doesn't make it, and now you have that problem.
And he lines up at the other team's and 40, and he makes it.
And he makes it, yeah. And so now you're struggling with that. And so to me, it's execution. It is, and it's just the inconsistency that they have on defense from down to down is a real issue here. You can't get back-to-back plays from this defense. You know, when you need to get off the field,
yeah.
you're holding your breath at like, okay, come on, Quinn, come on, Lawrence, somebody get a sack here, somebody get some pressure, somebody, you know, and what you're having to rely on is maybe you're getting a good enough rush where they get a holding and it takes them back. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the one thing that's stopping teams from having any success against you.
So, and here's the other thing that gets clouded when your defense is not playing well.
Yeah.
Their last seven possessions in the game, they go down to the 7-yard line, right? Gamble and lose.
Right.
Okay. And then it's punt, field goal, miss field goal from 40, which
right.
you should make, touchdown, touchdown.
Yeah.
So the offense moving the ball, but they get one play or one missed field goal, and it costs you 10 points, and you lose by two.
It's a good point by Mickey. To me,
seven possessions, and they punted once.
Yeah. This mm-hmm. is the situation you run into is when you miss a field goal. To me, that's like a turnover.
Yep.
I mean, that's a turnover. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's, you know, and then so.
Actually, two turnovers like, if you count the fourth and two.
You're right about that.
You turn the ball over.
You're absolutely right about that. Mm-hmm. So I'm just, you know, I think we're all trying to help Joe and Flower Mound out there understand what the problem is. You know, we're trying to, but then when, you know, nobody wants to hear its execution, you know, yeah, coaching, sure. Players, sure. Front office, sure. You know, broadcaster, Brian Broaddus, sure. You know, I think we all kind of have a little bit of a thought or of why or trying to pin it down. And when you say something that's pretty simplistic, people don't want to buy that.
No.
They just immediately want to say, nah, it's
who's,
not. But what is the answer?
Whose fault is it?
Yeah, you know, what is the answer? What is the – and then I think we're all trying to – you know, you're talking to football people here – and, you know, Mickey and everybody, we all talk to guys in this hallway and, you know, and we say, hey, what is? And guys will tell you, hey, what I know, what I see is the things we're talking about here, but people don't want to buy that. They just don't. They just feel like, get rid of the coach. Yeah, okay, get rid of the coach, sure. But how about the receiver that lined up wrong? How about the guy that Brian Broz talked about as 1A at wide receiver not stepping up and having a great game and helping you when your one receiver is down?
As you said, I had three balls slip right through my fingers.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you wonder why. You wonder why you lose games, and then it's right there for you. It's right there for you to see, but we don't want to accept that. We want to look at something else and say, nah, it's not that. It's not that, Brian. You're dumbass. It's not that. You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, there are plays to be made. And Jason Garrett, to your point, did say yesterday, anything that a player does or doesn't do, they were put in a situation by the coaching staff.
Right.
So that it starts there. But at the same time, there have been plays to be made in all of these three losses. I know they didn't put up any touchdowns against the Saints. They had an opportunity in the end zone early in the game there. Like, they're Witten has a catch and run where they're in position maybe to get into a field goal at the very least. Like, there are opportunities for this offense. And it's fun. I mean, this game Sunday could be decided in the first quarter, first half, because the Eagles are in the same boat.
Yeah.
They've gotten shut out in the first quarter, I think, four times this year. So yeah. Who can?
Oh no, their quarterback he'll throw it wide. I mean, he'll throw it over their heads.
Yeah.
I mean,
he'll zero game coming
so
up.
Who doesn't dig a hole?
Game starts in the third quarter.
Maybe.
See, okay. And that's why Peterson said what he said. And I saw a column in the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Yeah.
Is basically what he's saying is, I still think we have a good team.
Right.
I still have confidence in my team.
Right.
It's not like I'm trying to brag that we're so much better than the Cowboys or anything. He's just trying to instill confidence in a team that, by the way, is 3-3.
And got
run out of Minneapolis.
They look bad. They look bad playing in Minneapolis.
I mean, if you watch that first quarter and a half, the three big touchdown passes they had, are you kidding me?
A team that was struggling with Kirk Cousins at quarterback, and all of a sudden he looked like a Hall of Famer.
And they ran the ball too much, by the way, and all of a sudden Rasul Douglas looks like me out there playing corner.
I'll tell you what, you know what, Mickey, you probably backpedal better than him right now. Minnesota averaged 6.17 a play in that game, and they were perfectly balanced, and I know that drives people nuts, but they have 52% run, 47% pass. I know I didn't add the points, whatever, to it, but that's where they were at. They played a perfect game when you start talking, and they pressured. They got after the quarterback. You can rattle this guy. If you can get guys around him, he will kind of throw balls just to throw them. I mean, the ball to the outside could be wide. You know, sometimes he won't be accurate throwing the ball. He'll throw the ball high in the middle of the field. You know, they had some drops, too.
Is that who? Wentz. I thought you were talking about Dak. No, I'm kidding.
Well, Dak can sometimes do that, too. Yeah. But they had some drops. Alshon Jeffrey, I mean, they had some. You go back and watch them the Green Bay game, they've had some drops. And they've had some problems on the offensive line, too, with protection. It's just the Cowboys have got to find a way to just put – if you just could put one game together, you know, if you just don't have things that's, you know, that these stupid mistakes – you know, the turnovers, you know, conversions on third down, you know, that seemed to be right against the Jets. But you're going to have to find a way to get after the Eagles' ass in this game. That's going to be the key in this one.
This would be the week to put that one game together.
Put it all together. Yeah. Yes.
888-855-2297, the number to call. When we come back here on Talking Cowboys, the most amazing stat through six games of this season.
Oh.
Your new apartment's big. Such a great deal.
It's okay.
Just okay? What's not too...
It's right above the subway!
Well, I bet you don't even notice it after the...
That's my neighbor, Angus!
A deal that's just okay is not okay. Get a great deal with America's best network. Come into an AT&T store and learn how to buy one smartphone and get a second one on us. Based on GWS One Score, September 2018.
Star Sports Tours is the only official fan travel partner of the Dallas Cowboys, offering exclusive game weekend travel packages with sideline access and photo ops with current players, alumni, and cheerleaders. That's not all, though. You'll get to talk X's and O's with Senior Director of Player Personnel, Will McClay, and, of course, with yours truly, me, Brian Broaddus. You can trust the official fan travel partner of the Dallas Cowboys, and with us, you'll travel like a pro. Visit CowboysTravel.com to book your travel package today.
Work the Cowboys way and channel the winning business tradition of the Dallas Cowboys and the Jones family at Formation. This dynamic workspace provides an elevated work experience on the Star's aspirational campus with exclusive membership options available to meet varying needs. Choose from open workspaces, dedicated desks, and private offices to leverage our home field advantage for your individual business success. Limited memberships are available now, so apply today at formationatthestar.com.
A man's Stetson doesn't just protect him from life's elements. It projects an unstoppable and legendary spirit, just like the men wearing silver and navy on the field every Sunday. Since 1865, Stetson hats are American-made with pride right here in Texas. Respecting Cowboys. And Stetson is proud to be on the field with America's team. Find Stetson hats in the Pro Shop or at Stetson.com today.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Talkin' Cowboys continues and free to play predictive games in the Dallas Cowboys app are yours. You can win cash prizes up to a $10,000 grand prize. Fans must be 21 or older. Log in to play. Download the app for access on game days at DallasCowboys.com/app.
I'm not going to lie, I didn't play this week.
Well, that takes care of my Monday read.
And you know, you've got to keep playing. You can't just play
because the app doesn't really like you if you only play one quarter.
I'm good for 10 points in that first quarter. Then other than that, I'm really not involved.
For some reason, the Cowboys start playing this game at halftime.
Halftime? So I just go
Hill with the rim shot.
Yeah. Fast forward on my predictions.
That's very fair.
And don't miss your chance to see the Cowboys live at AT&T Stadium when they return home on Sunday, October 20th. That would be this coming Sunday to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Get your tickets now at DallasCowboys.com. It's Sunday Night Football this week. All right, the most amazing stat that I've seen, and give proper credit, if I can find it, Adam JT13. Okay,
he figured it out himself.
Bob Sturm retweeted it and said, this is an amazing stat, and I will agree. Through six games, the Cowboys remain the only team that has not started a single drive in the opponent's territory. The other 31 teams have started an average of 5.9 drives inside the opponent's territory, and four teams have started at least 10 drives through six games inside the opponent's territory, and the Cowboys have none.
I would say New England would probably be the team that's leading that right now.
Yeah.
that New England would be the team that started the most drives.
They've had drives that have finished in the end zone by pick sixes or scoops and scoops.
Let's double check this real quick.
Uh-oh. He's going to check. Mickey's going to check that stat.
So Jordan Lewis
doesn't believe Twitter.
And they have not.
Yeah,
Jordan Lewis gets you a pick, and he gets it right in the other in your own end zone, basically.
Yeah. So as of last week, the Cowboys were 31st in the league in starting field position, their own 23-yard line. It's worse this week.
So far, the closest they've been to midfield three times at the 46.
Which you'll take that, but yeah.
But this gets back to, the offense having to run more plays to matriculate down the football field, you're going to have more opportunities for a lack of execution. And it marries defense with offense. That's what makes football so great. Because you might be having all sorts of problems on football, but you can point a finger over to that defensive side and say, well, how come we haven't had any short fields?
Yeah.
Your average, basically the league average is you get one a game, and the Cowboys have had none in six games.
But the opponents only have two, starting in Cowboy territory.
There you go. There you go.
So
maybe that defense. There you go. That's
about
a good
that?
Stat.
And those were
there you go.
Those. Yeah.
I would have never thought
52.
To look it up. But
the other part of that, it's not just takeaways though. It's how about a three and out?
Or how about a long punt return?
Exactly.
Have them backed up to where they're punting from their own 5-yard line, and you get
a 92-yard pass.
Yeah,
I mean that was the thought process. If you're going for it down
you're thinking about
getting
at
the
least
ball.
You're winning the field position battle.
Play
if
defense,
you don't make it.
Play defense,
that's
make
right.
a punt from that end.
That's right.
Know? That's what you're thinking about.
I would give up on punt returns. I'd rush the punter every time. Take my chance.
You might not be
because even
were
if
you
I
just
get up
in the fourth and two just now.
What's that? Yeah, I was.
Yeah, because that's the silver lining if you don't make it, right?
If you can hold them there, if you can get them to go three and out there, then you get the ball.
Get the ball at the 50-yard line.
50-yard line.
It's the old hidden yardage that Bill Parcells used to talk about.
He used to talk about that a lot.
They don't get much on a punt return. The only thing they get is a penalty. Might as well just try to block it. You know, if you hit the punter, so what?
You know what I saw? You talk about referees and penalties, and I don't want to go down the referee path again. They had a penalty. They called a holding on a kickoff return when the ball went out of the when they kicked it out of the
yeah console. I heard about that.
How do you do that?
on a touchback
they get a holding call on a touchback.
How do
the officials, how do you call that? I don't know, I'll stop there.
Well, even if you called it, pick up the flag
just,
on that.
Pick it up. Absolutely. There,
all right, let's go to Joe in Maryland. You're next up here on Talking Cowboys. Joe.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on again. I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on Coach Garrett. I remember listening to Talking Cowboys back prior to the 2014 season, and I was key in on every week with Brian trying to get our coach fired, which I was totally in agreement with. But at that time, he was on the hot seat.
Yeah.
So maybe him being on the hot seat again is not necessarily a bad thing. But I also want to say that I think that Jason Garrett's an excellent talent evaluator.
True.
He's helped put together a great team, and I think he's kind of being the scapegoat here. I think there's deeper issues that's going on right now. I think the defense needs to be looked at, the defensive coordinator position. And, I mean, I would hate to not give this guy, even though he's had, quite a long time to get over the threshold, but I just don't think it's fair for him. Have us make it to the NFC Championship, and then him, that not be good enough if he does not, and him lose his job. So I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on Coach, and I'll hang up and listen.
You've been very fair. You've been a lot more fair than I have about that, and I'll admit that. I think, to me, though, I'm thinking about Coach, and we'll see what happens at the end of the day. You know, the Joneses are the ones that are going to have to, of course, make the decision. The contract's up. But, I'm willing to let this thing ride and see where it goes. You know, I don't think I was very fair to him, early in the last 3 or 4 years for sure. But I'm also concerned about, did I misevaluate the talent on this roster? You know, that did I overrate the talent on this roster?
You didn't overrate it on offense. We may have made a mistake on defense.
Yeah, But, Mickey, I just kind of feel like that, I felt like that Vander Esch, Smith make the big jump, that secondary plays better. I don't recognize the secondary right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I don't recognize it, and I don't recognize the lack of a pass rush, a consistent pass rush.
That might be the biggest thing.
Yeah, you know, one weekend we're fighting run defense, and the next weekend we're talking pass rush. But I don't recognize this defense overall, and I love Rod Marinelli. He's one of the most honest guys in the world. You know, I went up to him and said, "Coach, I'm sorry we're having to rip you about your defense." He says, "It's part of what goes on, Brian. It's part." I appreciate his honesty. He's been at this a long time. There's something I should be, as an old man myself, I should learn from that. You know, but the thing about Coach, you know, give him this opportunity. We're a quarter of the way through the season. If things don't work out, they don't work out. If he gets it done, then by all means, he earned it. He earned his extension. But I want to take, just from my point of view, the thought is maybe that I overrated this roster overall, and that in itself, maybe they're not a. Maybe they're not a Super Bowl roster. Maybe they're not an NFC Championship roster. Maybe they're not a divisional roster. But I can't, you know, they're right in the thick of things because Philadelphia is just in the baddest shape as you are, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. That's the thing that when I go out jogging that bothers me the most is that I felt like that I might have misevaluated this roster. I'll let the coach take care of itself, but maybe the roster. That's an issue.
I don't know if it's what you misevaluate, though, if you just go by your eyes. Like, specifically, you talked about the defense. The way they played for the majority of last year, that's a young, talented group that did a lot of things well. Rams game was an exception, for sure. And then we go to training camp. Huh?
I said, or?
Well, there was a game or two in there.
That Colts game was bad.
Colts game, too.
That should have opened my eyes.
But you go into training camp and you watch day after day this team go against each other in practice, and you see what this offense is capable of doing when they're healthy. How well does defense play every day in Oxnard when we watch them play? That's a defense that was flying around, secondary, making plays. I mean, there is talent on this team, but they have not been consistent, no question about it.
But they played well for four games with the exception of two drives at the end of two of them. Think about it. Yeah. You held the Saints to – and I know who was playing quarterback, but you held them to 13 points.
But if you ask them, I mean, let's say, you know, their own standard, they're 2-4.
I got you.
You know,
but so, these last two games, I don't recognize that
defense. I don't either.
There's no pressure.
Yeah.
They're giving up big plays.
Yeah.
And not big plays for touchdowns.
Yeah.
And very few sacks. Where are they at sacks
right
now?
I appreciate you saying that, Mickey, because that's not – I don't think when they sit down as a unit and Chris Richard, I don't think Chris Richard has forgotten how to coach or Rod Marinelli. I think those guys are really two quality coaches, two coordinators that are outstanding. I feel like, though, that these guys have kind of let each other down. And again, I feel bad that I came out and said, Leighton Vander Esch is this, Jalen Smith's this, Achito Awuzie is this, Xavier Woods is this, you know, Tank Lawrence is this. Boy, I'm glad they got – Mickey argued with me about how much would Robert Quinn really be effective. You know, I think he's been okay, but Mickey's right too. I haven't – you know, one-on-one, he has got to win two sacks. Yeah, good, but, you know, how about some of the other games? How about some of those other – you know, how about the Packers game? How about, you know – how about a little bit more pressure from Tank Lawrence? And I'm not focusing on the fact of what Tank Lawrence makes, and I understand, but he's going to have some one-on-one opportunities. I was praising the world of Malik Collins. Oh, Malik Collins, he's up for contract, da-da-da-da-da. Malik Collins hasn't played nearly as well enough as he needs to be. And probably they drafted Hill because they were worried about Malik Collins leaving here. And what has Hill done? Hill hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
So I mean,
inactive in three games.
I think that to me the expectations that maybe I set for this team were not realistic, and that's what bothers me the most as I watch this defense play right now. That's what bothers me because, like I said, they are not consistent from down to down. They might get a stop, they get a 2-yard tackle for loss, and then the next play, it's 2nd and 12, and they give up, like Mickey says, a 15-yard
pass.
See,
that's the thing. There were some chunk plays in this game. It's funny if you look at some of the stats post-game. The Jets were 2-10 on third down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they couldn't run the ball. There were some good things in there, but then a 92-yard touchdown happens.
You don't get to third down because you're doing so well on first and second.
Which
yeah,
is
but
that
I
one
mean,
drive.
2-10.
Two drives, including the 92-yarder.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, they gave up five plays of 24 yards or more, and they get two sacks. So now that's 14 sacks for the season.
Yeah. And I think
that puts him on pace for 37. That is mediocre.
And I think
that's average.
Two hits on Sam Darnold.
Yeah, only.
Yeah. So
quarterback got hit eight times.
Right.
And that was a deal where you're in a situation where and Mickey was very accurate about this, is talking about their offensive line was a mess. You know, their offensive line legitimately was a mess coming into this game, and you were not able to take advantage of guys moving around, playing other positions. I understand Sam Darnold was able to move around, but you just did not attack him in that pocket to affect the game the way it needed to be affected. You know, and if you want to put that on coaches for saying, hey, you've got to go out and take it to these guys, well, instead of let them taking it to you. That seemed like what happened that first half for me.
And Jerry Jones sort of alluded to that, the play up front on both sides of the ball in his interview this morning. More on that, and we'll have a call from Kevin from Ohio and Mickey's read of the day when we come back.
It can be hard to find the right resource for learning about important financial matters. You search how to build savings, you end up reading about the one weird ingredient from supermarkets that can make you taller. That's why Bank of America built BetterMoneyHabits.com, a safe little corner of the internet for answering your financial questions. Full of simple videos and tips, Better Money Habits can show you how to make the most of your money without resorting to random searches that always seem to lead to unbelievable photos of childhood stars grown up. To learn more, visit BetterMoneyHabits.com.
It's time for tailgating with the OtterBox boys.
The OtterBox that builds those crazy protective phone cases?
Yep, and now they're changing the side dish game with the OtterBox Trooper Soft Cooler. Lightweight, mobile, and leak-proof, Trooper is perfect for blitzing a crowded parking lot with a Frito pie.
Amazing. Hey, you think I could fit my 7-layer salmon salad into the Trooper cooler?
Yep, but please don't.
And that's been tailgating with the OtterBox boys. Learn more about the Trooper soft coolers at OtterBox.com.
While a player could look good on paper, it's when he's out on the field that you really find out what he's made of. That's why the Cowboys rely on more than just stats and scouting reports when building their team. When picking a tractor, it's why you should rely on more than just specs and features. You've got to take it out and put it to the test. The Cowboys did when they named John Deere their official tractor. Experience one for yourself. Visit myjohndeeredealer.com/football.
Dr. Pepper is the one you crave. But how do you explain that craving?
Imagine a surging river of ice-cool Dr. Pepper, roaring with carbonated mists of desire. You're dangling above it, upside down, like a fishing lure in the wind. 23 flavors tickle your nose, but the river is too far away to taste. Dr. Pepper calls to you. You.
Now that is a Dr. Pepper craving. Dr. Pepper, the one you crave.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black? Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes four Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Okay, when you go to Jack Black, we've got product.
Oh, wow.
All right.
That's a good.
So if you go to Jack Black, we know all about the facial cleanser right here, okay? Got it?
Got it.
All right.
That's a Des Bryant box.
This is show and tell.
We love the beard lube, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Mickey, I hope you're handing this out at the end of the day.
We love Turbo Wash.
There you
yes,
go.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm out.
Wait, there's more. This is an endless box. We also love the Double Duty Face Moisturizer. And then, not last but not least, the lip balm.
All
okay?
right.
Damn, Mickey, way
and
to go.
It's thanks.
It's like QVC.
No, wait, I want to see the box. I want the box. Is Dez now promoting this? Is this an endorsement deal for
and
Dez?
And thanks to Taylor Hooker.
Yeah.
This has got Brian Broaddus' name on it.
All right. Thank
it's
you,
Christmas.
Taylor. Thank you, Mickey, for doing this. I appreciate you.
This one has Rod Phillips' name on it.
Thank you, Mickey.
All right.
Now, this right. one has Jones, and I don't know if that's for Jerry's birthday.
Oh,
or
it's probably
maybe
Jerry.
For
I'll,
you.
I'll give it to Jerry.
Mickey, thank you for that. I appreciate
so
that.
So there you go.
Wow.
That's what happens when you go to getjackblack.com.
I'll tell you what, that's what happens when you subject yourself to big words. You get free product. Good for you, Mickey. Thank you for doing that.
I'm glad to see Dez has that endorsement deal.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's a good gift box.
I needed something to carry it in.
Appreciate that.
All right, very good.
Jack Black has been consistent. That's something we haven't had to worry about.
They deliver. They score in the first half as well as the second
half. They are good.
At least we'll have clean faces here.
Yes. All right, Kevin in Ohio, you're next up on Talking Cowboys. Kevin.
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me. First and foremost, thanks for everything you guys do.
Appreciate that question,
and I know we all week you hear about next man up. Coach says it all the time. I want to really talk about that. I want to talk about the guys that are up. I mean, and let's start with our defense. I mean, where's Lawrence been? What about Vannevesh? Vannevesh has been, you know, he had 10 tackles, but Smith, and you guys could correct me if I'm wrong after I hang up, but I believe he only had 3 in the Jets games. You know, we talk about, you know, the most important thing to me this week is guys could help me if our left both left tackles would be back. So poor Dak. Is standing upright, not on his butt all the whole game.
Sure.
You know, people talk about Dak Prescott, you know, and I'll give him 2 words. If you don't think that's a tough quarterback, just go watch that Jets game. It pretty much tells the tale in that game there.
Yeah.
But, Mick, this is to you, though. Do you see us bringing anybody in over the bye week, especially like a kicking? Or do you don't see anybody out there that's worthwhile to replace Mara? I'll let you guys go.
Wait. How's your right leg?
My not that good.
All righty.
All right, thanks, guys.
You've been checking out that kicking carousel out there?
Yeah, Cody Parkey was the last kicker signed off the free agent heap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mike Nugent was
Nugent, how old's he?
He's still kicking in New England.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He was just prior to Parkey, Nugent was signed by New England.
There's not a lot of kickers out there.
Matt Bryant signed with Atlanta in August, and he's 46 years old.
Didn't they lose the game?
In Arizona.
My answer to you is scored touchdowns.
And he may be released soon. They're 1-5. He along with the coach. He's older than the coach, isn't he?
Yeah.
Matt Bryant, probably.
I'm not sure you can make a trade to match what happened last year to make a significant difference on this team. You know, maybe
Steven kind of spoke to it yesterday. They just want to get some guys healthy.
5th or 6th round pick, somewhere 4th. I don't know, but how good's that guy going to be?
Like Snacks Harrison move, but is that the type of player? Remember last year, Detroit picked him up.
I like it. Yeah.
You know, from the Giants. The Giants were having a fire sale a little bit, and they gave Snacks up for a 5th round pick. You know, I know that Alex Loomis and Henry Shroka and all those guys are working hard on trying to kind of figure some things out. And
now the Jets supposedly are going to have some sort of fire sale.
Or maybe not.
Yeah. Well, they got New England this week.
So they might change their mind.
If they don't beat New England, they're 1-5.
Yeah, I think that you have to
Leonard Williams.
I think you have to try and take advantage of some situations if you can absolutely do that. Need to kind of get with those guys and see if there's a player or two that they have in mind that maybe I can look at as well. But I'm not banking, Mickey, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not banking on these offensive tackles being available this week.
Oh, he asked that.
Yeah.
The best you would do is get one of the two.
Yeah.
And that would be Tyron.
Yeah.
But I don't know about that.
It sounds like to me, too, the workout didn't go so well
Sunday.
The workout didn't go well. And then also, too, they've got some big concerns about Amari Cooper's quad as well. And so that's a bruise there.
The way Jason answered the question about Anthony Brown, I don't know that he's back either.
That's another one,
Lyle Collins told us he's feeling better, but it's an MCL.
Of course he feels better.
It takes a couple weeks, you know, so we'll see if he can do anything this week. The bye week's coming at a good time in one respect, but in the other respect, you need these guys to go win this game on Sunday.
You needed the bye week before the Philadelphia game.
Exactly.
Well, and you know, Cobb's another thing. If he can just get back, then he can be the second wide receiver with Gallup.
Yeah.
But now the way they played it, it ended up being Tavon, and then at times they had to bring in Ventel Bryant.
That was his first time
he'd played in the NFL.
That's true.
You had 2 guys playing for the first time in the NFL. Well, second time for Brandon Knight. He played a quarter and a half.
Yeah, I would if you can get Cobb back out there. I saw Mickey, our old buddy, number 38 on the field for the Eagles Orlando Scandrick playing some nickel stuff.
He's playing 38, huh?
Yeah, he's over 38. Heath. So, yeah, if you can find a
maybe
way.
Maybe he and Jeff Heath can exchange jerseys after the game.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. But, you know, to me.
Or don't leave Heath in single high coverage.
Yeah.
Put Woods back there.
I wonder if they keep Rasul Douglas on the field. I know we'll get into these guys tomorrow. Man, if you don't attack him, then by all means, change the coaches out. I mean that tongue in cheek, but they've got some issues in the secondary. You just got to find a way to protect.
So and in the maybe scouting report, they put a picture of Rasul Douglas, but they replace it with Mickey Spagnola's picture.
Right. I could have done as well as
Mickey.
Yeah.
Mickey could backpedal just as good.
All right. We backpedaled our way through another edition of Talking Cowboys.
And with product.
That's right.
Thank you, Mickey, very much.
Thanks,
Jack Black, for helping us out.
Yes, thank you, Jack Black. And we will see you again tomorrow here on Talking Cowboys.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?